Now, today is Mental Health, is World Mental Health Wellness Day. And I just want us to talk about that, to drill down and really just get to explore what all of that means for you and I. But specifically what I want to do tonight is look at how it what it means for a man to go through mental health challenges. But as always, I just love to define what we talk about so that we are all on the same page. So before we even get into the discussion itself, we will go into defining all of the terminology that we're going to use so that we get to understand it. But this topic is, even though it is World Mental Health Day, it is not necessarily standing on its own. We've been doing a series on forgiveness, and it's amazing the feedback that always comes through. The messages that come in on the WhatsApp line, how people are struggling, how people are going through suicidal ideation. Others even get to it because of things that they're going through, not necessarily around mental health, even though mental health is part of it, but it's things where you cannot forgive yourself. But let me not get ahead of myself. Now, what I want us to talk about today is, how does this affect you and I? How unforgiveness, healing, and love can contribute to overall wellness. But I had this teacher in my earlier years of schooling. I won't say when, but I had this teacher who taught me that when you define a term, you don't use the term in the definition itself. So what I want to do, I'm going to define things like forgiveness, mental health, wellness, but you just stay with me. It may come in sound technical, but let's first define things like forgiveness and healing, because some terms we tend to use them without even knowing what they mean. So forgiveness refers to letting go of resentment or the desire for retribution against someone who has caused harm. It involves a conscious decision to release feelings of anger, bitterness, or vengeance, right? There's this thing called the etymology. Now, etymology is the history of the word and how it is developed over time. So basically, from the ancient Latin days and up until today, how has that evolved? How has that use of the word evolved? So the term forgiveness is basically from an old English language, which means to give, to grant, to allow, to remit a debt, to pardon an offense. So it conveys the idea of giving away or releasing, which aligns with the notion of granting absolution or pardoning someone's misdeed. But it's not only about forgiving somebody. It is not about granting, allowing, remitting a debt, pardoning an offense of somebody else, but also yourself, where you may have fallen short. So it then, when you start looking at it in that way, that you give yourself pardon, you grant yourself that grace, you allow yourself the space and the mercy to say, I am a human being and I've made mistakes and this is what I did. But this does not necessarily define me. So I am letting this go. I pardon myself of that. And then comes another term that we are going to be using, which is healing. Now, this encompasses the process of recovery from physical, which is not what necessarily we're going to be focusing on, but rather on the emotional or psychological wounds. It signifies restoration to a state of well-being and a balance, often involving personal growth and transformation. Take note of personal growth and transformation, because that is key. So when you don't heal, you cannot embark on that journey of authentic personal growth, of authentic transformation. And healing, its etymology means to make whole, sound, or well. Now, as we double click on the words on the word's origin, on healing's origin. Its roots refer to a state of being whole or uninjured emotionally, psychologically, and even physically. But for the context of this conversation, we will keep it around the emotional and psychological, as well as spiritual, by the way. The concept then emphasizes wholeness and restoration. A friend once also articulated this idea of wholeness and healing, or wholeness and restoration. So restoration, you can be taken and placed where you used to be. But when it comes to wholeness, you are taken, you are placed where you used to be as if nothing had ever happened. So also put a pin on that one. Wholeness. Now, this suggests that healing is not merely about alleviating symptoms, but also about achieving a comprehensive state of well-being. If you've ever taken out an insurance policy, they ask you, what type of insurance policy do you want? Do you want a comprehensive one? Oftentimes, I don't know if people don't take the comprehensive one and they take another. I don't know what's the other one. But the comprehensive one, it covers you for almost everything. So it's comprehensive. It goes deeper. It covers almost everything. Now, while forgiveness focuses on releasing the negative feelings towards self and others, healing emphasizes restoring one's sense of wholeness and well-being. And there's that term, which we are then going to focus on. Now, both processes, healing and forgiveness, are essential for personal growth and emotional resilience. Take note of that. Emotional resilience. Now, let us then define what we are going to focus on and the key of today's commemoration or awareness, mental health, wellness. Now, if you were listening to Temba, you would have heard him have a guest from SADAG who defined mental health, wellness. But I just want to bring this definition through over and above what has been defined, that mental health wellness is the dynamic internal resource that empowers individuals to think clearly. So let me take this slowly. Mental health wellness is the dynamic internal resource that empowers individuals, you and I, to think clearly. Experience emotions fully, be it pain, be it joy, be it excitement, be it sadness, but you experience it fully. It allows you to connect with others and navigate daily challenges effectively. It encompasses the ability to build resilience, here's that word again, and foster personal growth while maintaining a sense of balance across various aspects of life, not just one. Therefore, the concept of mental health wellness involves coping with adversities, recognizing strengths, sustaining relationships, contributing meaningfully, and engaging in purposeful activities. So what does that mean then when you are experiencing mental illness? It is the opposite of this. It is when you are deprived of what I have just defined. When you are not experiencing this emotional resilience, when you are not able to pursue fulfilling and meaningful existence, when you have an imbalance in your life between your various life domains, you know, such as your emotional, physical, and spiritual well-being, when all of that is in a state of disequilibrium, then you find yourself in a state of mental illness. And you will know that at times it doesn't last forever, but there are those people for whom this is what they live with. It's not who they are, but it's what they live with. Now, I want us to focus on this from the perspective of men. There are two, probably three men that I just want us to look at in the Bible. The first one is Joseph, especially as it relates to forgiving, healing, and loving. And then the second one is David, who also had to allow himself to have that pure heart, that heart that is, it does not hold grudges, right? And then the third one is the Messiah, Jesus, the Lord, the Christ. Here's what I want to touch on. When Joseph was a young boy, he had a dream. He loved his brother. Love comes in. And in him loving his brothers, he trusted them. And in trusting them, he told them about his dreams. Little did he know that their hearts were contaminated against him because of the favoritism upon his life from his father. And so Joseph innocently tells his brothers as well as his father the dream that he had. And then they betray him. They sell him to slave traders, who then sell him to Potiphar. At Potiphar's house, he gets betrayed. He's lied about. And then he gets into prison. In prison, he stays there, and then he meets these Pharaoh's servants, the chief butler and the chief baker, interprets their dreams. Their dreams come true in 3 days, each of them. And he tells the other one, dude, please, hey man, just remember me, ne? When you come out of here, the dude forgets him for 2 full years. But in the 2 full years, there's something that happens. Firstly, when the chief butler is restored to his position, Joseph says to him, when you get out of here, remember me, because I did nothing to be here. I was falsely accused. So he's playing the victim. He's actually right. I did nothing. But he's articulating it from that point. And then this guy forgets him for 2 years. But what happens in that 2 years is pivotal, because God works through him and in him to bring about healing, for him to allow him to forgive. Because then after 2 full years, God activates a dream in Pharaoh that only Joseph could articulate and interpret, I mean. And then Joseph is able to interpret that dream, realizing that it was God. But when he eventually meets his brothers, who are still remorseful of what they did to him and the impact it's had on their father, he then says, look, what you meant for evil, God meant it for good. So that's the idea of forgiveness coming through, that you no longer hold what happened against that person. And secondly, when you forgive, it allowed him to miss his brother, to experience that love that he longed for ever since he was a boy, the love that he had missed, the time that was taken from him. He wasn't even a victim at this point. He just said, look, here we are, come, let us enjoy this thing together. Celebrate, be with me in this glory. And so forgiveness allows us to do that. In Psalm 94 verse 19, David says, in the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. Think about that. In the multitudes of my thoughts within me, thy comforts, Lord, delight my soul. So when we are going through things, when we are experiencing challenges, who do we turn to? Whose comforts do we turn to delight our soul? If it is men, those comforts may not be without any strings attached. But if those strings are from, if that comfort is coming from God, rather, it has no strings attached. It just is relationship. And look at how David loved. He loved fully. And he lived fully. And probably David is one of those men that we can really study as men. Because God said, before he even appointed him and anointed him, he said, I have found a man after my own heart. So David, even from the get-go, he was a man after God's heart. And you hear it when he now comes and he faces Goliath, how he's so passionate about the father's heart, about Abba, that he wants to defend him. But had David held on to the fact that because he's the youngest, he's been thrown out into the wilderness to take out, to tend after the sheep, and he now has to do this, he could have said, yeah, but you, my brothers, you left me here, you daddy, you left me here, and then he would not have come into this glory. God would not have chosen him to be a king. And look at the history of David. God chooses him in such a way that he forms part of the genealogy of Jesus. If you follow the genealogy of Jesus as per Luke, Luke tells you that this was the son of this beget this one, this beget this one, this beget. David comes into the picture. How amazing is that? Had he not forgiven? But that doesn't mean that David did not face mental health challenges. He did. Because there was a time when David had gone out along with his army and they went to fight. But in their fighting, they left their households open to the enemy. And when they came back, everything had been plundered. The people that he had gone out with wanted to stone him. Oh, but guys, hukum, what's going on? Right? And then he encouraged himself in the Lord. He went to the Lord. Now, unfortunately, we don't have too much time to go into everything, but we'll unpack this further even next week. And now I want to highlight the third person. If you go to Isaiah 53, the prophet Isaiah articulates the depression, the isolation, the loneliness, the rejection, and the pain of the Son of Man and what he lives through. Imagine you are so unpleasing to the eye that he compares you to a root out of dry ground. Imagine dry ground. Imagine a plant that's dry. And then imagine a root coming out of there without shape or form. Imagine that. And that's how Jesus is compared by the prophet Isaiah. And yet, Jesus was able to have a healthy relationship with God. And so, my friend, I want to ask you, in the multitude of your thoughts within you, whose comfort are you turning, or whose comfort are you seeking? I want to pray with you that may God look upon you, may God be the one that you turn to. May Abba Father open his heart to you, and may you feel the warmth, the breath, the love, and feel his hug. Feel him hug you, feel him touch you, feel him, tell you that he loves you. And may everything else dissipate. May the problems and the challenges that you face today be nothing compared to God's love for you. In Jesus' name, amen. This is Zibusa El Kunene, and you have been listening to God in the Picture on Impact 103. Have a blessed evening.